you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. You can go there. There will be a podcast of my show up on my website today. And my guest, of course, again this Sunday is William Taylor Ryle, and I have a tab on my website with his name on it, and he sent over a few documents that he wanted me to put up there for him. They are up there. If you want to call into the show this morning, 716-213-6816 is the number to do that, 716-213-6816. My show is also heard Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Republic Broadcasting Network. And I know, I believe that Orion carries the second hour of the show during the week, I believe. And I know that there are some other little networks out there across the country, little stations out there that are picking up the show. So I appreciate that, all of you who like what you hear enough to be able to, or want to be able to have whoever listens to your network or little station listen to what is being said on my show. I appreciate that. Call a number this morning, 716-213-6816. My website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. My guest this morning is William Taylor Ryle. He was also with me this past Friday as well on RBN. He's going to be with me again next Friday on RBN. And then I have somebody coming on next Sunday. We're going to talk about the latest stuff with what our country's doing, giving guns to the Mexican drug cartels. It's a good thing, isn't it? It's really good that our government does such stupid things. In fact, it reminds me, John and I were watching one of those TV shows on police, you know, those reality shows. Anyway, no kidding, I'm not making this up. These police were searching for a gun in a river. And so they said what they did. They had two handguns. They threw them in the river. And this is what they said. They said that once they find those two handguns, then they knew they searched the entire area. Now, I have never heard such moronic stupidity in my life, but I'm not kidding. I think it was a police department out in, I think it was Indiana. And John and I just couldn't believe it. Now, why the hell you would think if you threw something in the water, once you found what you threw in the water, that would mean you searched the entire area is absolutely beyond me. But that's what they had said. So anyway, you can make up your own mind based on that. I don't need to say any more. I want to welcome William Taylor Ryle with me this morning. How you doing, Bill?
I'm great, Maggie. It's good to be with you again.
So, yeah, it's always good. I always enjoy our conversations, Bill. So I'm telling you, when I want you to comment. Well, you don't even need to comment unless you want to, on what I just described about this police reality show where they were actually looking for a gun, so they threw two guns in the river and said once they found those, they had searched the area. I mean, where how do you arrive at that conclusion? Where does that thinking ever even come into play, Bill? I mean, isn't it kind of frightening when you think about
it? Yeah, what's really scary is those people are in charge, and they have guns themselves. I mean, that's really scary.
Isn't it?
How do you discuss something with somebody who has that lack of logic?
Find
it incredible.
Yeah, it was just a mind blower. And then here's another thing the same police department had done. They had these individuals, that whole department, I'm sure, is not negligent. These morons certainly were. They had a body floating in the river. And it's hard to tell when they cut and edit film, but it was the morning when they discovered the body, and this, they said they were waiting for the coroner to come before they took the body out of the water. And then they were talking about, you know, losing evidence and that stuff, you know, because the body's sitting in the water. Well, don't you think the quickest way to prevent any greater loss of evidence would be to pull this body out of the water? It's sitting there in the river, and the river is washing away the evidence every hour that went by, waiting for the coroner to show up. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. It was amazing. But
sometimes the rules that people write down, who frankly don't know reality, And then the people are told follow the rules without logic. And
without any common sense.
Common sense. And that's what, you know, throw the book away and do what's right. But at any rate.
I know it's just too much, but I also wanted to mention briefly, and that is not going to be our topic today, but I do want to discuss it this week. I had mentioned to you about that young fellow, 37 years old, who was mentally ill out in, I believe the town is Fullerton, California. And the police were called because they had a report of someone breaking into cars. And so this kid fit the description. And so what ensued then, and there were many witnesses all around because I watched the video of the police beat this young man who was not resisting arrest based on all the comments of the people who saw this standing around, saw the police do this. There were six police in this town in Fullerton, California. They beat this kid up. The picture of him on in the newspaper article I read about him is he's unrecognizable. He ended up dying. They beat him to death. He didn't die instantly, but they talked about that. And you could hear this young kid yelling for his dad, 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 as the police are beating him to death. Now, thus far, I think there maybe have been one police officer who was still being paid, but pulled off active duty, I guess, I'm not sure if that's the correct term, but you guys follow me. And the others still, there have been no charges filed against the police who murdered this young man, and that is murder. It is, and so I would have to say, Bill, and you know the law. Let's see, the chief of police who's not bothering to charge these six police officer who beat this man, and he resulting in his death. They've not charged him. How about the district attorney who's not bothered yet to follow through and to do anything? These people should, all six of them should have been suspended until they came to the bottom of it. Apparently, I was listening to this radio show that had interviewed a man who called in who had insider information into the police department out there in Fullerton. And he said that there was another video that the dispatcher actually was able to zoom in and watch these police beat this man to the point where he was on life support. They crushed his throat. One of the police kept kneeing him, dropping his full body weight onto this young man's throat, crushed his throat. He died the other day. And now this was, I believe, July 5th when the police beat this man up, and resulting in his death. And yet no one has been charged with his murder. And I want this to be on the front page of the news across the country, Bill, that these types of things are taking place in our country and that the police are not being held to the same standard that you and I would be held to.
Well, I guess they didn't learn from Rodney King.
Unfortunately, I guess not.
That beating was on video, and that's the only reason that was successful. We can talk about that, but it does go on in a variety across the country. I have been exposed to it personally, so I know how the police react when you don't do exactly what you're told. When you're told to do it, they resort to force. And not all, but many police have been trained that that's how you deal with, I guess, terrorist. Anybody who questions what government does is now classified as a terrorist. It's unconscionable. It's certainly unlawful and unconstitutional. And unfortunately, the only thing that many people in government really pay any attention to is how much it costs them in cash. And that, of course, the attorneys and judges love that because that puts funds in their pocket too. So
sure.
We have very serious problems, and the primary problem is that those in government don't read, understand, and follow the constitutions. They don't follow their oath of office, and we are being subjected to these abuses or usurpations of power every day.
Yep. In fact, and when you hear you watch this video that I watched of the people standing around, of course, they're afraid to intervene because they're frightened of the police. And that you hear them commenting that this man isn't resisting. He's not resisting arrest. But they beat him up Hang on, Bill Vietner. You're in the... Hey, this is a shock. I can actually hear the cue music. So, anyway, we'll be back in a couple minutes, everybody. This is The Unsolicited. And my name's Maggie. My guest, Liam Taylor Ryle, will be back with you in a couple minutes. Don't go away.
Mama always said you'd be the chosen one. She said, one in a million, you got to burn a shine. You were born under a bad sun, till the blue moon in your eye. When you woke up this night,
throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
In a world where corrupt oppressors and oligarchs have seized control of the populations, total tyranny is amongst us. The burden of humanity rests on our shoulders. The only way out is to expose the global crime syndicate known as the New World Order. Together, we are all one. Together, we are Intel soldiers. The battle for free humanity ensues. Join us in the fight. TheIntelHub.com.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. Call in number this morning, 716-213-6816, 716-213-6816. And my guest this morning is William Taylor Ryle, and we were talking briefly about this young person, 30 years old, who was murdered, beaten to death by the police out in Fullerton, California. They beat him so that he died as a result of that beating. And I'm just looking on the internet while we're talking here, Bill. And of course, apparently there was an offer of $900,000 to the father of this kid so that to settle any civil suits. And I wouldn't settle for $900,000. I think what this man needs to do is sue for every dime that Fullerton, California is worth. And I think that he needs to pursue this. I wouldn't settle for $900,000. I think 90 million is a better judgment, and I think that these police officers all need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law for their involvement in beating this man so that he died of the wounds inflicted on him. And the autopsy so far, it says it hasn't revealed the cause of death. Well, the cause of death is him being beaten to death. That's the cause of death. Whether it was a blood clot that formed in the brain or his lungs were crushed or whatever. You know what I'm saying. The cause of death was a result of this beating inflicted by police officers in this town of Fullerton, California. And you know what? I'm all for and an advocate of the police, but I'm not an advocate or all for police who are out of control. And they are criminals, as far as I'm concerned. Those police who did this to this man are criminals.
Well, you're right. They're breaking the law. They're operating outside the law. And what we call those who do that are outlaws.
Yep.
And unfortunately, because they don't read, follow, and understand their oath of office, understand the constitutions, and they're taught by people who think that the police stand between us and anarchy. They are there to protect us against ourselves. That's not the purpose of police. They're supposed to keep the peace. And it's a difficult job, and I don't minimize that. It's a dangerous job. But when police operate like this, they have no business having a badge or wearing a gun or doing anything. They need to go to jail. And so the point is, it all boils down to the same cause. That is, those in government listening to certain people who don't understand the law, listening to court decisions that aren't lawful and constitutional, allowing them to allegedly do things that are unconstitutional, gets us in this mess. And the people need to stop going along to get along. And it's dangerous, but we need to stand up and say no. And this father, I agree, needs to help them understand, because the only thing apparently that goes in government understand today
is money.
Loss of cash.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and the problem is that makes the attorneys wealthy, and that's exactly what they want, and so we go round and round on a circle. At any rate, it gets us back to what we were talking about last week, is the First Amendment. Not minimizing what's going on in California.
No, I understand that, Bill, but I understand that.
All right. So Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the rights of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievance. That's what the First Amendment says. And what we talked about last week was Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. We didn't get to the second clause of that introductory portion. And in reality, what is establishing a religion? I think people forget about it. They listen to pundits of this and attorneys and cases, and they say, well, that means if you even speak about religion, that's establishing religion. Or in school, they do a prayer. That's establishing religion. That's ridiculous. And the framers, you have to look to what the framers were, in fact, addressing and trying to understand what the provisions of the Constitution mean. Because they mean today what they meant then in the language of that day, not today. That's Contract Law 101. And so, and the Constitution is a contract, or a compact, if you want to phrase it a different way. But the point being is, that phrase, establishing a religion, was there because in the colonies and the states, there were state-sponsored churches, just like the Church of England, which was one of the reasons that people came to America, to get away from the persecution of the church that was being in their edicts were being enforced by the king. And so these remnants of English history and practice remained in some of the colonies and in the early states. And so the Constitution was phrase is put in to say that there's not going to be a state-sponsored church. That's it. And the second phrase is to say that Congress not only can't establish a state-sponsored church, they cannot, in a bridge or lesson, they are next prohibiting the free exercise, there are the free exercise of religion. Now, in the time of the writing, religion meant denomination or sect of Christianity. So you couldn't have a Baptist church, and that was the only church in, let's say, Virginia. All right, that was what they were talking about. And that, in Pennsylvania as an example, the state could not interfere with the free exercise of conscience, because men and women in this country are the sovereigns, and we're free to do what we want to do as long as we don't hurt somebody else, damage somebody else's property, or violate somebody else's right. That was the right. That was the intent of the framers. And when you get all this complication and extension and perversion of what it really meant, you get the mess we're in now. You can't even have a prayer in school, which when I went to school, we had a prayer every morning. And I don't know that anybody was so damaged that they couldn't function. In fact, it was a good thing. But now, according to allegedly the Supreme Court making law, which they can't do lawfully, you can't even talk about it. If you mention it, the ACLU is going to sue you. Well, sue the school district. And so as a result, all of this is taken out, and that's why we have gone down this ungodly path upon which we find ourselves today. Now, it's interesting, the next phrase says abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Let's take those together.
Okay.
The framers understood that freedom of speech was a fundamental right given to us by God, and if you can't speak your mind, your thoughts, you really can't communicate with others, obviously. And the press, in this context, meant writing anything. You and I are part of the press. It was not restricted to the established industry. Again, the attorneys would have you think that's where it only applies.
Yeah, they do.
The Pennsylvania Constitution is much clearer on this subject, and as were the Declaration of Rights of the early states. And what we have to go back and say, wait a minute, this speaking and writing, and that's what we're talking about, is a fundamental, God-given, inalienable, or an indefeasible inherent right of humans. And the government has no authority, zero.
Hang on, Bill, because we're going to break. Listen, everybody, this is the Unsolicited Opinion. Bill Ryle will be back with me in a couple minutes. So don't push that dial, the Unsolicited Opinion.
Free speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
with IRN USA Radio News, I'm Jordan Hooker. The lawyer for two Americans jailed in Iran on spying charges said the court will announce its verdict within a week, dashing hopes for a quick release after a final hearing in the case today. Shane Bauer and Josh Fatal have been jailed since July 2009 when they were arrested while hiking in the mountains of northern Iraq along the Iranian border. They denied charges of espionage. A tropical depression has formed in the Pacific Ocean well off the coast of Mexico. Forecasters at the National Hurricane Center in Miami say the depression center is 430 miles off the coast of Acapulco, Mexico, and could develop into a tropical storm today. Right now, it's projected to remain far from land. At least seven people suffered minor injuries when a strong magnitude 6.5 earthquake rattled northeastern Japan. It's the same region that was rocked by the March earthquake and tsunami that killed some 23,000 people and crippled the region's nuclear power plant. This is IRN USA Radio News.
If you're looking for the perfect gift for a baby or a young child in your life, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or just friend, forget about the cutesy outfits, the toys, the diaper bags. You want to give a gift that's really going to make a forever difference in a child's life. How about the gift of reading? Let me tell you about the Your Baby Can Read program and the special offer that we're offering today. Maybe you've seen the video of these babies reading on TV. I saw it and it was awesome. And research shows that the best time for kids to learn a language is from birth to 5 years old. You just don't want to miss this window of opportunity. Studies prove early readers perform better in school. They've got more self-esteem. That is going to make a huge difference, and it's going to last a lifetime. Call now, and the first 100 callers will have the chance to receive the Your Baby Can Read program absolutely risk-free with six free books. Hurry, call now for this risk-free offer.
Call 800-799-5908. That's 800-799-5908. Call 800-799-5908 now.
The Freedom Link Radio Show with Joe Joseph. Sundays, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And this is my one-hour Sunday show with my frequent guest. We have Taylor Ryle, who is my my resident constitutional scholar. So self-defined, but I say yay to that. Hey, Bill, you want to continue where you left off when we went to break, please? And anybody wants to call in, 716-213-6816 is the number. A podcast of this show will be up on my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. So anyway, Bill, take up where you left off, if you would, please.
Yeah, I had a thought about the last prohibiting the free exercise of religion. A thought during the break. Isn't it amazing that how far extreme it has come where you can't say anything against, you know, in support of religion, because and that's being Christianity, because the government has decided you can't do that.
Well, that's the only way. You can't say anything in support of, though. You can't mention Christianity. It's okay to mention Islam or Judaism, but Christianity is no-no.
Of course, because that we talked about this before, about taking that out of public square, but that just totally violates that second phrase that says prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And freedom of speech is the next phrase that we were talking about, so you can talk about it, because you have this freedom of the press and of speech. In the Pennsylvania Constitution, it starts out, it's Article 1, Section 7 of the Declaration of Rights. It says, the printing press shall be free to every person who may undertake to examine the proceedings of the legislature or any branch of government, and no law shall ever be made to restrain the right thereof. The free communication of thoughts and opinions is one of the invaluable rights of man, and every citizen may freely speak, write, and print on any subject, being responsible for the abuse of that liberty. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I would say so. Bill, let me ask you a question here. Would you say have you read all 50 state constitutions?
No.
Just
I've read portions of some of them, but the, you know, people don't like to reinvent the wheel. So the legislatures or the people who are crafting the constitutions for the states, which then became their legislators primarily, borrowed from the other states. As an example, some of the things in the Declaration of Rights in Pennsylvania were taken from Virginia's Declaration of Rights. And so even the early colonies were borrowing from each other because they all knew each other and they were talking to each other through letters primarily. So
another question, Bill, and I had just heard this recently. Were there different copies of the U.S. Constitution that were sent out? Copies that had different verbiage in them?
Not originally, but they have been changed.
Okay, because
you'll find some differences in later years of the Constitution. They can't do that lawfully, but they do it, and it gets published, and then people accept it. So the real thing to do is to go back to the original documents, make sure that what you're reading is accurate, and that takes a little time. But if you're a scholar and you're studying this and you want to answer the question, that's the way to do it. It's interesting.
Well, if you want to answer the question correctly.
Correct. A number of people talk about separation of church and state. That is, in fact, found in the Russian Constitution. I found that in the law library. It's in the 50s. So the bottom line is it's not in our Constitution. It never has been, and that's been put in there by attorneys in their decisions and grand judges. Totally wrong.
Say that again, Bill. What's not in our Constitution?
Separation of church and state.
Oh, okay.
All right. Remember, that was just taken out of thin air, put in a court decision, Everson versus Board of Education, 1947.
And they ran with that since then.
And they've been running since. So I guess the conclusion is when the Supreme Court does these things and has been doing it for many, many years, I got to the point I say, why in the world would anybody listen to what they say? They're not basing their decisions on the law, on our history. They just make it up. And as a result, they're outside the law, so they're outlaws. And the point is, we have to reclaim our sovereignty. We have to start asserting ourselves. And in order to do that, you got to know what you're talking about. So that's why being able to be on your show is so great. I hope people will be motivated to start reading. All right.
Well,
so
I hope so too, Bill. I hope so too, because it's the only way we're going to get people to be able to. You need to know material. You can go and listen to people give speeches and that stuff, but you got to learn some things on your own. You got to take a little responsibility yourself.
Got to take a lot of responsibility.
Well, okay, I agree with you a lot.
Liberty.
I just didn't want to scare people off, Bill. I thought I'd ease them into it gradually. You know.
Well, with liberty comes responsibility. Great responsibility.
Well, yeah, certainly does.
If you want to be free, you got to act responsibly. At any rate, and then it goes on to say, or the right of the people to peacefully to assemble. Well, now in order to assemble, now we have this right anywhere in the country, anywhere in the state, to peacefully assemble. Now what they do is they put these, they have free speech zones. Now wait a minute. if this is America or this is your state, you have the right to go and speak anywhere. Again, respecting the rights of others. You can't get in somebody's face and yell at them and assault them. You can't go into a crowded theater and yell fire. That's against the law. But to have the government say you can only talk if you disagree with what we talk about in this little corral area, that's unconstitutional. But
well,
there again,
this hate speech label that they've come up with, Bill, to deny people the right to say what they think, whether it's a popular thought or not, is irrelevant. But that's just another way that they've come up with to silence dissent. That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, it's hate crimes. I testified on. There's no such thing as a hate crime.
Of course
not. It's either a crime or it's not.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing. It's the way for prosecutors to add on another 5 years or some additional penalty without having to go through proving it. They just claim, well, you didn't say what you said we think you were able to say. And are some things that people say very bad? Yes.
Sure they are, but that's just life, and sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Get over it, grow a set, find a spine, and get to stepping. Please.
Well, words do actually hurt, but the bottom line is...
Well, sure they do, but they hurt your emotions, Bill, but you can get over it as well. And so your feelings were hurt. I think you'll get over it. There's more important things in life. Feelings aren't facts.
But what the Constitution is addressing, the government, this contracts, I mean, the compacts, these constitutions don't operate on us. They operate on government. So it was meant to say government cannot prosecute you for saying something. And so that's, you're responsible. The other person who's offended, they can sue you in court for libel or slander or both. So the point is there's a remedy for somebody who's being maliciously attacked. At any rate, so then we can peacefully assemble. Well, of course, that's gone by the wayside. And then it goes on and says, and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. Now, here's something that's really been obliterated. You go to government, and we had 2+ million people in Washington petitioning government down there to tell them to stop health care. And what did they do?
Nothing. Nothing. Right? They spit in your eye. Spit in the eye of the American people.
All right, and there wasn't any answer other than we're going to pass the bill on, we don't care, and you got to read the bill to find out what it's about. What a ridiculous thing to say. But it's even more important, and we'll get into this, but petitioning government, that means that you can go in any way in the Pennsylvania Constitution. In the Pennsylvania Constitution, it's Article 1, Section 2. It says that you can petition government by... if I can find that.
By not spitting in their eye.
By any method, that is petition, address, remonstrance. You have, anytime you go and speak to government, that really, and you have a question or a problem, that's a redress of grievance. And they have come to such a point where the courts have decided that not petitions to government don't matter.
Hey, hang on, Bill, hang on. Keep that thought in mind about the courts, and we're going to break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Don't go away, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Meg. Be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Now you can listen to the Orion Talk Radio Network on your phone, anywhere, anytime, with our Listen by Phone feature. Just call 704-772-7627. 704-772-7627. Then enter the code 10016. That's 10016. All long distance and cell phone charges apply. Powered by UpSnap.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
This is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And my guest this morning is William Taylor Ryle. He is my resident constitutional scholar. I like Kevin Bill on because he's got a lot of information that people need to hear because they really don't hear it. They don't hear people talking about the Constitution and what it meant when it was written, which is so critical, not what we want to pretend it means today here in 2011, but what it meant when they wrote the Constitution. So where did you leave off, Bill? Please continue. I did write a note to myself where you left off, so you better remember.
We were talking about the last phrase in the First Amendment, which talks about the right to petition for redress or grievance. In the Pennsylvania Constitution, it's Article 1, Section 20, and it's the right to petition is the title, which isn't part of it, but it says this: the citizens have a right in a peaceful manner to assemble together for their common good and to apply to those invested with powers of government for redress of grievance or other proper purposes by petition, address, or remonstrance. And what we need, so, you know, the state constitutions are longer, and the Pennsylvania Constitution was written before the federal Constitution, and this provision was in the 1776 Constitution, and so they took that provision and incorporated it by trying to reduce its volume, if you will, in the Bill of Rights. And so the people were complaining that there weren't protections of this right to petition for redress of grievance in the Constitution. And so the states, before they would ratify it, wrote over 200 proposed amendments, and they were boiled down to 12 by Madison and a few others, but Madison primarily, and sent back out to the states, and 10 of them were ratified, the last 10, not the first two. But so the idea of partitioning really grew out, again, looking at why the framers put these provisions in the Constitution, why the people were so jealous about this right to petition for redress of grievance. The colonists had been petitioning England for years and been ignored. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, they give a long list of usurpations that the king and parliament had ignored their petitions. In fact, they talk about their repeated petitions and the king ignoring them. So that gave rise to this insistence, both in the state constitutions first and then in the federal constitution, to secure this right guaranteed by the constitutions that we have a right to petition government. And when you petition them, it's interesting, people say, well, you can write, and then they just ignore you. Well, if they ignore you, then that's a nullifying of this provision, isn't it? If you can go to government and say, hey, you're doing something wrong, we want you to fix it, and they say, I don't care, which is what they do today.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that schmuck, what's his name? I think he's from Harlem. What's that congressman's name?
Rangel?
Yeah, and somebody had mentioned the Constitution. No, we don't care about that. What's that got to do with it, he said?
I don't know whether that was Rangel or not, but yeah, that's common answer, the standard answer. Well, this has gotten so bad that, as I said, if you go to government, and I don't care where it is, anybody in government has a responsibility by their oath of office to listen to you respectfully and take into account your instructions and fix it.
They have the responsibility to be making their decisions based on the Constitution and nothing else.
All right. So here's this provision. So you go and they ignore you. It's gotten so bad that the people in a county here in the East went to their county commissioners and had them read the Constitution, what they hadn't before, and then they asked them what authority they had to purchase property and develop it with public funds in competition with developers and private citizens. And the head of the county commissioners came back and said, well, it's constitutional. We have case law to support our position. And then they asked the reasonable question, well, what are those provisions, and what are the citations of the cases upon which you rely? And the answer they came back with after a couple of weeks was, well, we don't have to tell you because that's attorney-client privilege. They had gone to their solicitor and talked to him, and the solicitor and he were talking. Now, they both all forget that they work for the people of the county.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Current attorney-client, the client is a tax-paying citizen. That's the client.
Right. But unfortunately, the state has upheld that through the Court of Common Pleas. Now, it's not done yet. They're going to go to the Commonwealth Court to appeal it. But the point is, this is going on all over this state, several places. I don't know all over, but I've heard of it from several places, and I'm sure it's going on throughout the country. They use this made-up idea that if somebody talks to an attorney, that's automatically attorney-client privilege. As far as I'm concerned, even if that privilege existed, once the commissioner said it's constitutional, we have case law to support our position, that alleged privilege was shattered.
Well, but Bill, all of these people in the government work for the people. So they don't have any privilege that extends without including the people. They don't have a privilege where that's concerned. They aren't separate from the people. They work for us.
Well, there are some examples where they don't have to answer, not at least immediately. For instance, in personnel discussions, in a case that's ongoing, or negotiations for doing something for the county, as an example. Those I understand, and it's reasonable that they don't want to disclose those as they're in the process. But ultimately, under the Freedom of Information, you should, or even just they should tell you, because you're right. There is no secrecy from the people of what goes on in the government, ultimately. But this idea that these attorneys and judges have cooked up that says if some government official talks to an attorney, it immediately becomes privileged, and they don't have to tell you, is so far out of the box. And yet the courts and the Freedom of Information groups, county and state, have upheld this position. It's ludicrous. But that's where we are. And so this provision in the Constitution, both state and federal, are in essence meaningless. Now, I know of a lot of people. Bob Schultz is an example who's petitioned federal government on a lot of things and been denied. And people are denied responses repeatedly, all right? And when government does that, then the people are suspicious, and they should be. And that's the reason we're supposed to have this open government controlled and protected by the constitutions, and we don't today. And that's this provision is so important because it guarantees that when people go to government, they're supposed to answer you. They are supposed to answer you, and with the truth, not some general format, well, thanks for writing, so here you go. It's an answer of substance, and if they don't do that, they're violating their oath of office, and frankly, they shouldn't be in office.
No, they shouldn't.
Because if they do that, as I said, that nullifies, just makes meaningless, this very sacred provision in the Declaration of Rights of the state and the Bill of Rights, the first article of the Bill of Rights, makes it a nullity. But it's just symptomatic of the overall problem. They don't read the Constitutions, they don't study them, don't understand them, and they're told, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter anyway. It's just an old piece of paper that's meaningless. President Bush had a more anti-Christian, anti-God explanation for the Constitution. But the point being is, we the people are responsible, so let's learn, let's stand up together, and individually for that matter, and tell those in government in a nice, respectful way, no, you can't do that. You need to do this, this, and this. And if they don't, there needs to be some remedies. There are remedies in the law. Nobody is above the law. They ought to be prosecuted. They ought to be turned out of office. They ought to be impeached. There's all sorts of remedies. So we need to start exercising them.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Well, we need people aware to be able to exercise. And the first thing I think people need to do, Bill, is read the Constitution. How about start there so you know what it says? I mean, you don't have to have it committed to memory like you do, Bill, but at least read it so you understand, have a basic idea of what the founding fathers had in mind when they wrote it. I don't know.
And then, and Maggie, that, and everybody, the nice thing about being in America today, it's written down. The framers didn't have that luxury. There was no written constitution from England. That's the reason they insisted on writing it down, so it would be there, and people could go back and look at what was their intent. Look at the convention notes. Look at the letters that the framers wrote. It's there, and people can read it. All right?
Well, on that note, William, we're running out of time.
Well, a lot of it's on the Internet, which is sort of helpful today. All right?
Well,
so thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Bill. I'll talk to you before Friday, I'm sure, but otherwise you'll be on with me Friday. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. Hey, everybody, this is the Unsolicited Opinion. The podcast of the show will be up on my website today, and there is a tab for William Taylor Ryle, my guest, up on my website if you'd like to read some of the things that he's written. I think you should take a peek. Take a look. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm on Republic Broadcasting Network Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, here on Orion Talk Radio every Sunday noon Eastern Time. So listen, kiddies, I'll be back tomorrow for those of you who want to continue to listen to the Unsolicited Opinion. And we'll be talking commies tomorrow, I think. Anyway, chin up, everybody. Going to Oz is a wonderful place to be. Somewhere over the rainbow truly is. Chin up, better days are coming. We have people like William Taylor Ryle in the world who are fighting for you and I, and that is a wonderful thing. See you tomorrow. You have a great Sunday. Chin up, buddy. Better days are coming. The sun will come up.
Chimney tops, that's where. Oh.